never manage to fulfill in some way or another. But at the same time, we bring to the new life that karma from the past. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it mixed? And so if our karma was good, we find that it's easy to get our material desires fulfilled that we had in the past lifetime. If our karma is bad, we find that we struggle a lot and we can't manage to fulfill those desires we had in the past. So that's why some people have such an easier time of it than others. But in either case, whether you're able to fulfill your material desires or you're not able to fulfill your material desires, in neither case are you really satisfied. So material life just doesn't stack up either way, whether you've got good karma or bad karma, because nothing about material life actually satisfies us deep inside. And one day we learn that. Eventually we come to the realization that we've been through all this stuff and nothing actually did it for us. Nothing actually pushed our real button. And what is it? What will it take? You know? And we learn that ultimately it's developing a loving relationship with God. That's the one thing that fulfills us, the one thing that actually makes life make sense. It's the one thing that isn't circular and brings us back around to the same place sooner or later. You know? And that stage is that place where the light bulb goes on and we decide to actually make an effort for spiritual life. And then we start a progress that's actually very different from the circular progress that we make by following our material desires and getting, whacked by our previous karma. Of course, some people have very bad karma, and so as a result, when they die, they don't get another human birth. They have to go through a set of time in the hellish worlds. Hell exists, but it's not permanent. You suffer in a subtle form in the hellish world, and after you atone for the suffering you caused others in the regular material world, then you get an animal or a lower form of life, and now you come back as a plant or an animal or some lower form of life, and you have to work your way back up the scale, because animals and plants below humans, they don't they're not able to do sinful activities. They don't get bad karma. They simply burn off the bad karma they had as a human being. And once they're finished with that life as an animal, they get promoted up one notch to the next higher conception or higher consciousness of animal. And finally they come back to the human form.
Where does the dog
fall?
What's that?
Where does the dog fall? Dogs are kind of up there, but the last step in the animal kingdom before coming to human is cow, monkey, and tiger or cats, you know, so that from... Yeah, monkey. So humans, a monkey takes birth as a human in the mode of ignorance. A tiger comes to human form in the form of passion. And a cow comes as a human more in the mode of goodness, you know. So.
Every time I hear you speak, I hear things I have never heard in 35 years.
Yeah, so these things are there, even in, I think, Bhagavad Gita, they talk about, not necessarily the three things about what birth is next before human life, you know. But there's 8,400,000 species of life compared, according to the Vedas. So if you fall way down, you've got a lot of steps to go up before you get back to the human form. 400,000 are just human forms, so you've got 8 million forms below human, and there are 4 million forms that are human or above, so there's steps above humans as well. That's the demigod forms. But in the human form or above, you can actually cultivate religion or spiritual life, and you can leave this material world, but below the human form, you cannot. You're forced just to endure that life as that kind of creature until it comes to an end, and then you're automatically promoted to the next level up, and then promoted up. And eventually, after, you know, if you fall all the way down to the bottom, after 8 million forms, you come back to the human form again. And at that point, you can again go up or down. But as long as you're not human, you're not able to go up and down. So we've talked about all these things, you know, with karma and reincarnation, that people who are, you know, searching after the Supreme Lord, at least somewhat involved in religion, they will likely get another human life. It may not be the best human life, but at least they'll get a human form. People who are very sinful and cause suffering to others, people who eat animals, those people will be forced to take an animal birth in the next lifetime. Those people who die suddenly or commit suicide, they may wander as ghosts for some time before ultimately they get progressed on to another form of some kind or another. So all these things are possible. Now, people who perform very good karma according to the Vedic system, they may get promoted beyond the human form to demigod form. And in that form, they live in the heavenly worlds where things are much nicer than they are here, but it's still the material world. So although they're much nicer, and they live for huge lengths of time, and indeed, they have control of this material world to a certain extent, at some point, they fall back down from the heavenly world back to this earth plane, and they start living just like we are again. And so these are all the different directions you can go when you die, depending on your focus during life. And Krishna talks about it in Bhagavad Gita. Those who worship demigods go to the demigods' planet. Those who worship ghosts and spirits take their life again in among ghosts and spirits. Those who perform sinful activities, they go to the hellish worlds and they take animal births, and so on and so forth. All these things are possible. And that's why, you know, the world is actually very complex, not only just the material world, but that world we don't see, which isn't the spiritual world proper. It's the subtle world, the world of ghosts, the world of demigods, the world of, you know, all these other kinds of things. All that is really there, but the spiritual world is beyond all of that. So that's why at the time of death, you can go any number of places, depending on what you want, what kind of action you've performed, and so forth, you know.
Okay, so how do I save my ghostly friend?
Again, like I said, chant Hare Krishna for them. Yeah.
But I don't want him to be, you know, ghost for hundreds and hundreds of years all by himself.
Right,
everyone
right.
He knows
it's
will be gone.
Not a happy thing. But we can chant for them, chant Hare Krishna to them, and if they stand around and listen, they'll be purified by that, and they'll get moved on beyond the ghostly realm much, very quickly. In fact, it can happen almost suddenly.
And then what, he gets to be a cow?
Well, depends on a lot of things. If they hear the holy name and pay attention to it, they may actually get benefited to become at least another human being and go beyond that. But again, it depends on their attitude. They might be frightened by the holy name and go away, in which case, you know, it's hard to say what will happen next. But since they've at least heard it, it will speed up their process of going on to the next thing. Everybody has free will, even as a ghost, you know, so they can take things or not take them. You know.
Well, he kept another tradition.
Uh-huh.
And he was Asatru.
What's that?
Asatru? He had, his religion was Nordic in origin.
Well, a lot of, you know, all these religions are really talking about the same process, but just some have more detail than others, you know. Same process is going on. If you perfect yourself at any religion, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to develop a love for God and want to do nothing but serve God. But most people never get that far. And most people are settling for doing business with God. They want to do something for God, but they're hoping God will make them happy in the material world, in which case God will do that. He'll allow them to come back in the material world and give them some good karma to live through, you know, but of course that's a waste of time. So when people focus on God, when people hear the holy name, they will make progress, you know, in learning what's really going on in this material world. They can, if they really want to take it seriously, they'll come back and become serious spiritual aspirants. If they don't, maybe they'll just continue to come back and do business with God like most people do, you know, in some form or another. Or some people reject God altogether, and then they have to go through all kinds of suffering, and they go through the animal species and all this kind of stuff.
No, he wasn't like that at all. He just was in a lot of emotional pain.
Do you get Do you get any sense of communication with him or not?
I think so sometimes.
Yeah. You can oftentimes feel when people first leave that they're still around, you know. In the Vedic tradition, often the idea is to cremate the body. Because oftentimes once the spirit leaves, if the spirit isn't immediately whisked away to judgment and then hellish worlds and then animal body, and they stay around, then they tend to be fixated on the body that they once inhabited, even though they can't go in there anymore. They tend to be attracted to it. They go to the places that they used to go to when they were living, and they hover around their body. And that's why in the Vedic tradition, the idea of burial isn't there, because once the spirit sees the body cremated, there's a tendency of, that's done. I'm on to something else, you know. It helps the ghost or the subtle form to break that connection, Hare Krishna, with the previous body, and they decide to go on, you know, to the next thing, whatever that is. But it looks like if they really want to, if they haven't done really grossly sinful things, then they can hover around that place where they once were, that body that they once had, and go on that way for a long time before they recognize that, how long am I going to do this? Isn't there something else? Isn't there somewhere else I should go? And then they move on, you know. So that's why when you chant for them, they have the chance to hear that chanting and a chance to be purified by that chanting. If they actually become attracted by the chanting and they take it up themselves, even in the ghostly frame, then they can be purified and even go into the spiritual world. But if not, they're at least purified by hearing it, and likely very soon they will take another birth and go on with whatever it is that they, if it's a material goal that they have very deep in their heart, then they'll, like everybody else, take another birth and follow that material goal, whatever karma they take with them from that point. So in one sense, it's a very sensible system, you know, that you see people are getting what they want and they're also getting what they deserve. And depending on their conception, they go through one kind of situation or a different kind of situation. And that's why people all over the world have experiences of ghosts, because there are a lot of people in this nether world of having a subtle body but no gross body, either, as I said, due to sudden death by a traumatic or, sometimes malevolent means, or committing suicide, or not having really extremely bad karma, but dying and still being attached to the previous life, and for these reasons people kind of hang around where they once were. And so our world is full of ghosts everywhere, you know, buildings and, you know, cemeteries, and they're all over, you know. Halloween is one of those things that's not just a fiction, it's actually the reality of things, that these disembodied people hang around, and at some point they get moved on, either because their time as being a ghost is up, or they decide that there must be something more, and they try to figure out where do I go from here, which leads them back into another reincarnation ultimately.
Doing a disservice by holding memorial type events for these people?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's in itself bad. A person still, after dying, you know, wants to connect with the people that they once knew, and that kind of helps to relieve that. And again, like just as in this world, some people know what's going on and some don't. You know, when people die, some people know, oh, now I'm dead. I'm in a subtle form. I will reincarnate soon, or I should reincarnate soon. While other people, they don't know what they were doing in life. They don't know what they're doing in the ghostly form either. They're confused. They're just wandering around. And they stay that way sometimes for hundreds and thousands of years, you know. They say that Lincoln's ghost is still wandering around the White House, you know, that people hear him, and people who are modern presidents and people who staff the White House swear What's that?
I mean, he's basically a very good leader.
Right, right. So obviously he didn't get the kind of reaction where he had to go to hellish worlds, but at the same time he was attached to being president and he died suddenly. And so therefore, you know, because he was killed in a very malevolent sudden assassination, then his spirit still is around the place where he inhabited. He wants to do something. He wants to finish something, but now in a ghostly form, he can't. And evidently, he's not spiritually progressive enough yet to move on beyond that and take another incarnation.
This is not anything new. It's been around a long time. The knowledge that he had these very vivid dreams that he was going to be killed. And he knew ahead of time. He knew almost the day.
Lincoln, yeah.
Lincoln. So that's why I'm a little surprised that he's...
Yeah, yeah. Well, people sometimes get... People can have psychic experiences. People can even have elements of telepathy or clairaudience and all these things and still not know what the whole thing is about, you know. These are... The subtle world is very big. There's a lot of stuff going on in it. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with a lot of it. But I'm really thankful that I don't have to deal with it because just like New York, it's a very complex, messy, ugly thing. Sometimes there's people who want to do something to you. That's all out there in the subtle world. But luckily, most of us are thick enough that we just don't tune into that, you know. Poor people who actually have psychic abilities, they have to deal with it because they're open to it. And it's like, you know, that's their cross to bear. They have to actually deal with that stuff. Most of us are just oblivious to it for the most part, except for maybe a slight bit, you know. So we don't have to deal with it.
Go ahead. I seem to have come in contact in my life with people who want to commit suicide, and I sort of have to say stuff that I'm completely ignorant about. I know this much, but in the past, it was about ghost bodies, so I thought maybe that was what this was about, and I came to this. I'm presently involved with a dear friend who's taken certain drugs that made her suicidal.
Yeah.
She's been like that now for 2 years, so she's finally...
Are we talking about medical drugs or recreational drugs?
No, no, no. She had a slight operation. She got depressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then whatever the drug was made her suicidal.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I reached her so much till I was blue. I said, over my dead mind, you're going to kill yourself. No, but she completely understands from the little that I conveyed to her that it is such a bad sin you're going to have to take a ghost body. I said, but I'm not knowledgeable enough to know how long, how many years.
Yeah, well... Nobody can answer those questions. It's like, it's kind of like when you die, your karma and all that come to bear, and it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. All kinds of things can happen, and all kinds of things figure into it. I can just give you basic ideas, and these are all the possibilities. What actually happens is between the Supreme Lord and demigods and the person and all this kind of stuff, Yamaraj is in charge of those things. The Garuda Purana kind of spells out a lot of horrible details about what happened to people who don't leave. Well, it's online. I don't know how accurate it is, but... I couldn't find a good copy of the Garuda Purana, but I found a copy online. But, you know, it talks about gems, it talks about a lot of stuff, but basically most of it is about that period between death and rebirth. You know, it's all about ghosts, it's all about the journey of the soul to be judged by Yamaraj on Yamaraj's planet. It's about people performing various kinds of sacrifices to help the recently departed soul. It's about how ghosts can become again into a human form. But those kind of explanations have to do with what kind of sacrifices kings have to do to promote a person. I mean, none of us are kings, so we're not qualified for those kind of things. But we can do the same thing by chanting Hare Krishna.
When you commit suicide, not when you're in a car accident, you might think a ghost body or it's attached to your body. But when you commit suicide, I ask someone if I can do more of years of love for that per individual. No, nothing can help that person. A devotee told me that.
No, that's not true. That's not true. If you chant, chanting can always help people. But just as if we go outside and we chant Hare Krishna, some people are going to come up and watch us, and other people are going to do this and run away. The same thing with ghosts. You know, some of them will come up and listen to it. Some of them will just go away. You know, everybody has free will, even as a ghost. So if they're suicidal and they're also adverse to anything spiritual, then your chanting will purify them a little bit until they get far enough away that, you know, they don't want to be around it anymore. And so maybe that'll help them. At least it'll help them get a new body soon. But if they're willing to listen to it, they may even be promoted to the spiritual world. You know? Yeah, yeah. Well, that's in the, if you read the Gita Mahatmya, there's a whole bunch of stories. Every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita has an explanation about why it's a wonderful chapter, you know, and this is told by Lord Shiva to his wife Parvati in the Padma Purana. And so there's a story for the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, a story for the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and a lot of those stories are stories about someone who's a ghost or someone who dies and lived a really rotten life, and they become a ghost or something like that. And there's this one story, I forget which chapter it is, for this man who was very, very materialistic, and he was super into making money, and he made some money, and he was on his way to spend the money, and some dacoits found him, and they robbed him and killed him, and he died. And his son never found out what happened to him, and his son wondered why my dad never came back, and he wandered out to try to find out what might have happened to his father. And one day he was very tired and he was under a tree, and he decided to read the Bhagavad Gita under the tree. So he was reading one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita under the tree, and it just so happened that that was the very tree that his father was murdered by the dacoits under. And because his father's ghost was there, and naturally he was attracted to his son reading the Bhagavad Gita, he heard one chapter. Suddenly he appeared to his son, and then he went off to the, you know, spiritual world. He was liberated by his son reading the Bhagavad Gita. And so the Gita Mahatmya is saying that if one reads this chapter, there is a chance that if someone who was a ghostly, was in a ghostly form, hears this chapter, they may even be promoted to the spiritual world as a result of hearing it. There's several stories like that in the Gita Mahatmya. So that's not the Garuda Purana now, that's the Gita Mahatmya. And I think that's from Padma Purana, really. Yeah, yeah.
And then they commit
suicide because
they
both
Well,
yeah, I can imagine what they've gone through, which is probably worse than hell. But the problem that we all have, not just them, is that we don't control the mind. You know, the mind tends to dwell on negative things. In some cases, we are more attracted to negative events than we even are to positive ones, you know. And so we dwell on the same negative event over and over and again. And in this way, our own mind sets us up for our own destruction, because as we circumambulate a negative thought pattern in our mind over and over again, we become more and more and more emotionally attached to it until it manifests on the physical plane some way or another. We do something about it. We kill ourselves, we kill somebody else, or we act it out. And it's all because we don't know that by thinking of negative things over and over again, we're setting ourselves up for future disaster. And even if the worst thing has happened to you, if you chant Hare Krishna and you consciously try to keep it from becoming a recurring thing in your mind, you will eventually find that that thing ceases to have any power over you. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, if she is, then she'll make progress with it. Because
she tries so hard, she tries to convince herself she's fine. She chants, she talks to her dad and mom and I are going to the temple in
over there and this other thing.
Long Island.
But yeah, I was
because I went to visit them and took them to the temple. Now they're going back.
So
she talks to them. She chants. She goes online. Krishna.com. And I said, go to the local programs. As soon as she gets home, she said, I'm going to come visit. But she doesn't because she knows she's going to take the ghost body and I'll get mad at her. But she's living with this, and I said, just keep, don't ever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what
to say. And that's what we all have to do.
I will never give up on her, ever. Never. I told her that.
Because that is way more important than her friends. At least you have a chance.
Sometimes we are the only lifeline that somebody has, you know. Sometimes we are the only lifeline that somebody has.
Doesn't want to talk to her anymore. She says, oh, you're such a babe, grow up.
No, that is the wrongest thing you can do. And
she's trying to take amino acids to balance her body. Uh-huh. She's trying everything. You know, Bhakti Tirthaswami had this, I'm computer illiterate. I don't use any gadgets because I'm really sensitive. Mm-hmm. I can feel everybody's in the room, but anyway, but she went online, my friend went online for me, and printed out something from Bhakti Tirthaswami, and it was maybe 6 pages long, and I read it first, it was very deep, it was about how prevalent it is in society now, suicide rates have gone skyrocketing.
Yeah, I know.
And she read it, and this devotee said, yes, let her read, read it to her. She said, no, I'll read it myself. She had a breakdown while she was reading it. I could feel negative spirits around us. Mm-hmm. She was sobbing and clinging to me, going, they're trying to get me. I mean, it's real out of a movie. I better not go on.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, and I just started chanting really loud. I said, here comes Dina. I'm the exorcist now. Chanting, I'm not going to stop. She finally pulled out of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing you can do.
Every day goes through this, and I'm wishing, I wish I'd see more. I could tell her.
I mean, how much money you got?
Well, everybody has their thing. You know, if you really get down to it, the material world doesn't cut anybody a break. Everybody has their quote-unquote cross to bear of some kind or another. And for some people, it's that. For some people, it's something else. Every one of us has something. So helping somebody else is always, a very important thing because then you can give them a chance to hear about Krishna. And if they take it seriously, they'll make progress.
'80s, and she used to go to our programs. We held in Santa Barbara. My husband and I would put on Krishna in the local programs. And now she's starting to go. She took making full circles with Buddhist, and she did all these other things. And now she said, I'm not that surrendered, but I know Krishna is the only way. And I went, yes. She's making progress, but she's
so you want to know something, but you don't want to experience it.
Well, there may be some actual, these brain chemicals are
positive. She's the most positive, beautiful, sweet. And now to hear her talk like this, she said, Barbara, I used to look at her.
What's she taking? It's like
not taking it. No, she's taking amino acids to help her.
No, I mean, what's
Axel or whatever. Axel?
Oh, she was.
That was a pharmaceutical drug for depression.
She stopped those?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. She was only a short time, but it screwed everything.
Right, right.
You need to maintain the.
I keep telling her she's going to be okay. But
I am different than you.
Anyway.
So, in order for you to satisfy your stomach, you're
going
to have to maintain.
I was not sure about. Just don't stop being your friend, and you tell her other friends that no matter how much a pain in the ass she is.
No,
don't stop.
To me, she's not.
If you're trying to realize that
it saved my life,
one,
no, she's not a pain. Sometimes it's upsetting because I'm living with her. She screams at me all the time. That's upsetting. At least I know this girl at one time was so upbeat and positive and sweet. I know her, and now to see her this way, that's my experience. But no, I'll never give up. Thank you.
I was thinking about her original question and then the second question, the whole conversation, and I was thinking that if you don't forgive someone, so you're holding a grudge for the rest of your life, and then you leave your body, then there's some karma in that attachment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's going to end up going with you in your next body.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you focus on other people's problems, you tend to draw their karma unto you, you know. So that's why it's not a very good idea to, you know, you tend to become what you think about, even if it's a negative thing. If you notice or have a problem with somebody else in some kind of way, you tend to develop that same issue. So just meditating on that makes you realize how dangerous it is to worry at all about what other people are doing wrong, you know. Then you're, as if we don't have enough garbage already to deal with, here we're attracting some other stuff our way, you know. So it's always the best thing to just try to pray for other people. And I've seen it my own self, you know, that when I think about what I don't like about people or what bothers me about other people, that it definitely has a negative impact on my consciousness. It has a negative impact on, you know, the way I deal with people and so on and so forth. So, you know, I found the only remedy for it is to do the 180-degree opposite thing, is pray for their benefit. You know, not that you have a specific prescription you're handing Krishna for what he should do, but you're praying for their benefit. And then that hard knot starts to go away. That little by little, that hard knot starts to go away. And if you really have a strong hard knot, then you really have to pray for them for a while, you know. And in an earnest way that you really hope that their situation will improve. You don't know what it will take to do that, but you know Krishna does. And in that way, you release yourself from that emotion, and you release yourself from drawing their karma towards you, and you release yourself from the cycle of thinking about something negative. You know, all those things are dangerous.
It's really similar to something I heard, I think, at the Hartford Temple, where someone asked a question, what can you do to overcome, like, if you're jealous or envious of, like, another devotee or someone? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer was to serve them.
Yeah.
Similar.
What's that?
It's similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
You all came down on the train?
I came down with Bridgelata and Raul. Raul seems to have disappeared, and then Anna met up with us here. So we went to